Good morning.
Good morning.
Isn't that a beautiful morning? It's just amazing. After the snow and the wind and all of that, it's nice to get up to the sunshine. Those old dark, dreary days really get me down anymore. But it's nice to see the sun. It's wonderful to be here together with you to worship God. I suppose if I had to give a summary of the lesson for today, it would be in very few words. God loves you. God loves you. Now you think about that. What's your response when somebody loves you? You're supposed to love them, right? God wants us to know how much He loves us. He's told us in this passage that Steve read for us that there are many blessings that we have. We've already told us that. He told us in the third verse that we've been born again to a living hope. He told us in the eighth verse that we have a joy that's inexpressible. And now He's going to talk about the salvation that we enjoy as a result of our faith. I'm going to take just a little bit of time this morning to think about this passage. And I don't think we can fail to be impressed how privileged we are and how loved we are in God's sight. And how important that is for us to have the strength to face the day. We're not alone. There's a God that cares and there's a God that loves you. We learn that from the reading that Steve had for us, 1 Peter 1:10-12, that we are the recipients of the gospel that was prophesied. Came through us through the efforts of a very, very distinguished group of individuals. We're going to think about that this morning. And the one passage that jumped out at me as I read this, they were ministering not to themselves, but to us who are now Christians. You think about that. God loved us so much, He decided way back before time that I'm going to send the prophets and they're going to deliver a message to Don and Steve and Kim and Charlene. God loved you that much that He sent those prophets to minister to you. And then He sent the Holy Spirit to give them the message. And then He sent the apostles to deliver that message. Wow, that's a lot of work. That's a lot of planning. That's a lot of love that God has for us. We've been ministered to by the prophets. Just think of that. I mean, you think about the implications of that. You think of what it says. We're told in 10 and 11 of this passage that they inquired, these prophets did, and they searched diligently. They tried to understand. They were intrigued by what they said. You see, they were moved by the Holy Spirit to deliver a lesson, and it wasn't their will. They understood that this message was for someone else. It was for us. That they were speaking and they were writing, and they often expressed a real perplexity about that, as you can well imagine. If you'd like to turn to the book of Daniel with me, I'm going to be going to the 7th chapter, and I'm going to look at verse number 28. Hitherto is the end of the matter. As for me, Daniel, my conjugations much troubled me. Isn't that interesting to think? Daniel was troubled by what he said. The prophecies that he were giving, he says, my countenance changed in me. I'm just kind of, what in the world am I saying? What in the world am I writing? What does this all mean? He says, but I kept it in my heart. Now go to the 8th chapter and verse 26. It said, the visions of the evening and of the morning, which was told is true. Therefore, shut up thou the vision, for it shall be for many days. And I, Daniel, fainted and was sick certain days. And afterward I rose up and did the king's business, and I was astonished at the vision, but none understood it. He was so upset, he was so perplexed, that it made him sick, it caused him to faint. Now, he went about and did what he was supposed to do, but he was astonished at the vision. He didn't know. You see, God had planned before time to use him to tell us the Christ is coming, and the Christ is going to be the king. Well, Daniel gets told even plainer than that when we go to the 12th chapter and verses 8 and 9. It says, Daniel says, I heard, but I understood not. And then I said, oh, my Lord, what shall be the end of these things? Wouldn't you? I mean, if God gave you a vision and gave you a message that you didn't understand at all, wouldn't you ask? Daniel says, what's the end of these things? What's the meaning of it? And God says, go thy way, Daniel. The words are closed up and sealed until the end of time. That's today. That's the time in which we live. These words were given to Daniel by God for us. That's exactly what Peter tells us in 1 Peter 1:10-11, where he said they weren't ministering to themselves. They're ministering to us. How wonderful it is to think about. God made such tremendous plans. We who are Christians today were served by Moses and Samuel and David and Isaiah and Jeremiah and Ezekiel and Daniel. Those great Old Testament prophets, these and many other prophets, spent their lives, and in many cases gave their lives, in service to you and to me. How much God loves us. How much God loves us. He tells us about their troubles and their service in Hebrews the 11th chapter, verses 36 through 38. But I want to go back to our text again. Let's go to 1 Peter 1, and let's look again at the text as we read it. It says, they preached in verse 12 the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desired to look into. The Holy Spirit was a servant, a minister to us? Absolutely. That was the function that God had planned for him. He inspired the prophets to deliver the message that they delivered that they didn't understand, because it was not for them. He's the Holy Spirit's the one that inspired David to write Psalm 22, describing the arrest and the crucifixion of Christ. He's the one that inspired Isaiah to write the 53rd chapter and talk about the tremendous sufferings that Christ did. It was the Holy Spirit that moved the prophets to claim the glories to come, as Peter puts it. The resurrection of Jesus in Psalm 16. His ascension and his coronation in Daniel 7. The Holy Spirit is serving you and I. That's what Peter writes in 1 Peter 1 and verse number 12. He inspired them, the apostles, to reveal what Daniel and Isaiah and David wrote about. For you see, the rabbis of Judaism down through time had written many, many books about what Isaiah 53 meant, what Psalm 16 meant. And they took that there were going to be two leaders that came. There was going to be a suffering servant, and then there was going to be a triumphant king. The prophets came and told us it's the same person, the one who's the suffering servant and the triumphant king. The Holy Spirit inspired them to know that. And that's exactly what Jesus promised in John the 16th chapter and verse number 13. Said when the Holy Spirit comes, He'll guide you into all truth. Into all truth. Then, matter of fact, Paul claims that that's exactly what happened in Ephesians the 3rd chapter and verse number 5. Where he said he wrote by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And he tells us that we can know and we can understand because he knows and he understands. Let's read 3:5 of Ephesians. He says, in other ages this wasn't known unto the sons of men. But now it is revealed unto the holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. The Spirit Himself came as a servant to you and I. What a thought. The prophets and now the Holy Spirit. Think of the implications of that. That the Holy Spirit is come as your servant through His ministry of inspiration and revelation. He enabled us to know the will of God. And served us greatly. And in many, many ways. Through His work, we today have the completed revelation of God's Word in our hand. Never before this day and time has the world ever had that. Abraham didn't have it. Moses didn't have it. Daniel didn't have it. Isaiah didn't have it. Paul didn't have it. Peter didn't have it. We have the completed Word. As a matter of fact, Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 13 that he was given in part so that he might deliver each in part and put it together. He said he saw darkly as through a mirror. But folks, today we can see clearly because of the work of the Holy Spirit for you and I. And that's in addition to what Peter was talking about in 1 Peter 1 and verse number 2, where he talks about the sanctifying work of the Holy Spirit. What a thought it is. Do we really appreciate the work of the Holy Spirit that He's rendered to us down through the ages? Think about it. Have you ever done something for somebody and they just didn't appreciate it? I mean, you put yourself out and you really work at doing something for someone. They look at it and say, oh, thanks, and just walk on. Do we do that? I mean, isn't that a great indication of the love that God has for us, that He sent the Holy Spirit for us, His people. God loves you. We just sang about that. Did that give you joy to sing that song? He loves me. This I know. That should just, wow, really excite you. And then it goes on and Peter tells us in verse 12 that we've been ministered to by the apostles. That's who he's talking about when it said those who preach the gospel to you. That's the apostles. They were commissioned to preach that gospel in Mark the 16th chapter, verses 15, 16, when they were told to go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. That wasn't for their benefit. It would have been a whole lot easier life to go out on the Sea of Galilee and fish every day. To sit behind a table and collect the taxes that Matthew did. To be a rabbi like Paul was. They gave up all of that for us. And they considered themselves as servants. Look, if you will, in 1 Corinthians 3. And I'm particularly going to be looking starting in verse 5. Said, who then is Paul? An inspired man, right? An apostle. Great church planter. But he says, in his eyes, in God's eyes, who's Paul? Who's Apollos? This great teacher that he talks about. He says they're just ministers. They're just servants. That's what that word means. Who are they? They're the servants by whom you believed, as the Lord has given to every man. He said, I was just a seed thrower. I was a planter. And he said, Apollos was a water boy. He watered. God gave the increase. You ever think of Paul that way? He wasn't the owner of the field. He wasn't the one that plowed the field. He wasn't the one that ran the harrow through the field. He was the seed thrower. His job was to carry the bag of seed and scatter the seed. And Apollos' job was run back to the well and get the water and bring it out and put water on the seed. What a picture. Our servants, because God loves us so very, very much. He even tells us in 1 Corinthians 3, drop down to verse 21. He said, they did it as a servant of Christ. Therefore, let no man glory in men. All things are yours, whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas or the world or life or death or things present or things to come, all are yours. And you're all Christ, and Christ is God's. Let every man, in verse 4, or chapter 4, verse 1, account of us as the ministers of Christ and stewards of the ministry or mysteries of God. He said, we're just servants. Just servants. And that's all. And then in 2 Corinthians, he drives the point home even more when he says in chapter 4 and verse 5, he says, we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord. Now listen to the last part. He's saying, we preach ourselves, your servants, for Jesus' sake. Your servants. Your bondservants. The ones who owe their very life to you. That's what we're for. We've been served by men like Peter and James and John and Paul, who gave their life for our sake, to convince us and to convince the world that our faith in Jesus is not in vain. Jesus arose. Hallelujah, Jesus arose. And God loves you. He loves you so much. You think of the honor and the love that the Father in heaven must hold for His elect, as Peter calls it, His church. That He would have such high regard as to have such a distinguished company be their servants. The prophets, the Holy Spirit, the apostles. Folks, to be so privileged should motivate us to praise God from the rooftops. Think what God has done for you, for His grace, for His love, for His gifts. And it should motivate us to give our lives in grateful service to Him. God loves you. The grace of God, though, is even greater than what I've already talked about. Because you see, He not only bestowed upon us the prophets and the Holy Spirit and the apostles, but His grace reached the peak when He sent His only Son to die for you and me. Matthew 20, verse number 28, says, just as the Son of Man did not come to the world to be served, but to serve, and to give His life a ransom for many. God loves you. God loves you so much He sent the prophets to give us a message. God loves you so much He sent the Holy Spirit to give the prophets that message and to inspire the apostles to tell us what that message means. And then He sent His Son to die for you and me. Shouldn't we respect that love? Shouldn't we respond with such grateful service? Faithful obedience. That all the world will know there's a follower of Christ. There's one of His. Bless us, Father, as we try to be closer to Your Son every day. Should be a part of our prayer every day. If you're here this morning and you look at yourself and you say, you know, yeah, that's true, but I'll have to admit I haven't really been living that life. I haven't given that kind of service to God. I haven't shown that kind of love to Him. That I let everybody know who's around me how much He loves us. How much He loves me. I haven't told everybody that I know how much He loves them. And how much He wants them to love Him. When we look at ourselves and we think about it that way, we need to recognize and understand God loves us. And that places some obligations upon us. Have we fulfilled those obligations? If you've not, if you've been slack in your service, if you've wandered back into the world, please, won't you come and won't you do it now while we stand and while we sing?